You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 16. Got something I just want to share with you. Cornbread and beans. My pastor used to always say that. We came out of Lakewood Church, and John Osteen, of course, our pastor, and he had everybody come through minister there. That's Joel's dad. John was Joel's dad. But he would, I'd get tickled at him because he'd have, everybody come minister at a big church like that, you would. And he would get up and he'd say, "Well, I just got cornbread and bean message here. Sometimes we just need cornbread and beans." And I always thought it was the greatest message of all of them because it was so practical and so down to earth, and he connected with you. Everybody tries to communicate, but few connect. There was a book written along those lines, actually. I think it was John Maxwell wrote that book. But in life, we need to connect. We need to target our audience. We need to know, that it's not so much what you say, it's are you connecting with someone? It's not about me standing up here and just putting out information. If I'm not connecting, if you're not getting anything, I hadn't done anything. I hadn't done a service. It's not about me quoting scriptures, making good points. It's about really getting down there where you live and connecting with you and relating to you. Amen? Amen. And I believe it takes the Holy Ghost to do that. It's not just a man thing. It's a spirit thing. It's a God thing. So we want to always pray, especially when you're ministering to people or witness to someone or trying to help someone, pray that God opens their heart. Because just to give them advice, it could be just bouncing off like hard ground, like putting seed on rock. You don't want to do that. I don't want to spend my time just spinning my wheels and just blah, 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 blah. Amen. Y'all go home and have a good week. I really want to help you and do something that'll tell you something that'll change your life, that'll make your life better. And the only way to do that is to find out what God says. And the only way to bring that across is to lean heavy on the Holy Spirit, that he will open your hearts where you walk away and say, "Did not our hearts burn within us," as they did in the Bible. There's a difference between the anointing, the presence of God, and when the anointing's not there. You may not know what it is, but you should know when it ain't. Amen? John 16, found it? John 16, 33. Real common, real familiar scripture. You ought to know this one. It says, "These things," Jesus speaking now, "these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Man, we can have a camp meeting just right there if I didn't go any further. If you want peace, then you need to find out what Jesus says. Because the things that Jesus spoke to you were spoken to you that you might have peace. Now, don't everybody shout at once. I know that's good news. Are you with me? If you want peace, anybody need peace? If you just want all the voices to go away, if you're in the bed pulling the covers over your head hoping all the bad people disappear, if you just want everything to calm down, I can tell you how you do it. You need to find out what Jesus says. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to get alone. I've done it many a time myself. I've many times at the end of the day, I felt like a shell of a man and just overwhelmed by everything that's going on. And I'll just calm down. I'll sit down. I'll get my Bible out. I'll start reading the Bible, start talking to God. And then the peace of God that passeth all understanding begins to come in, and it just changes me. And I get to wondering, what in the world was I stressed out about? If you really know the truth, you're too blessed to be stressed. You're too anointed to be disappointed. Ooh, you've been blessed by the best. Come on. Come on. You worried about all this, but God's bigger than all this. This mountain on your horizon, God's bigger than that mountain on your horizon. He's greater, and he's not just greater. He's not just bigger. He is also willing and ready to move on your behalf. If you'll just call on him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be set free, shall get out of this mess I'm in. Hallelujah. In fact, really, the bigger the mess, the bigger the message when it's all over. The bigger the test, the bigger the testimony when it's all over. So rejoice, not in the pain, not in the problem. God didn't send that. But he sends the answer, and you can have a testimony when it's all over. I always say the difference between a test and testimony is just a little more money. Just a thought. I mean, you may want to tweak that a little bit. But he says here, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you." See, God's intent and purpose, this is not just a moral code. It's not just an instruction to be saved. It is that, no question. If you want to know how to be saved, the scripture tells you how to. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Call on Jesus. Believe on him. Confess him. Trust in him. You will be saved. The scripture tells us that. Romans 10:9 and John 3:16 and 1 John 5:1. Many scriptures tell us that. But it's more than just that. It encompasses all of our life. It encompasses our spirit, soul, and body. Jesus, I would submit to you, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He's either Lord of my daily grind. He's either Lord of my business. He's either Lord of my family. He's either Lord of my emotional state. He's either Lord of me and everything I come in contact with, or he's not Lord at all. And I really believe he wants to be Lord of all. He wants you to lay everything at his feet. He wants you to come to him and find out what he has to say about how you should live your life. That should be a question you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And he says, these things have I spoken to you. The intent, the purpose of this. I mean, he's not random. You know, he doesn't do things randomly. God's not a, he doesn't have a little wand where he's just flying around and ding, bless this one and ding, bless that one. That's just a bunch of ding bats, really. But anyway, God is purposeful, and he purposely wants to help us, and he purposely gave us his word, and the purpose of his word is that we might have peace. Woo! Oh, glory. I'm going to have to put a little sugar on this to get y'all going this morning. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In me. Everybody say in me. Okay, now see, in Jesus. That's why you got to stay in Jesus and spend time with Jesus and realize his presence is with you wherever you go. You've never been alone a day in your life since the day you got saved. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth. So don't play that game. Don't buy that lie. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Don't sing that song. Take those blues records and throw them away. Jesus is with you, and he'll help you, and he'll strengthen you. He's not just with you to be with you in the trouble. He's with you to help you out of the trouble. He's not just with you in the pain so you can experience the pain with him and he can experience it with you. He's with you to help you get through the pain, get over the pain. He's not with you so you die in that valley. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He's with you so you can come out the other side. Hallelujah. Jesus is with you so you can win. He's with you so you can overcome. In fact, that's what he says here in this very verse. He says, in me you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Oh, hallelujah. It can be done. We can win. We have won. Somebody has beat the devil. Are you with me? Someone has overcome this. Someone has come out of this. I'm not the only one. That's the lie that often we buy when something's going on in our life that, everybody's picking on us and we're the only one. And, we're singing that Charlie Brown song, why is everybody always picking on me? But the truth be known is whatever's happened to you, and I'm not to belittle your pain, not to demean what you're going through, but whatever's happened to you has probably happened to someone else. Are you with me? And people have gotten over it. God has helped other people. He'll help you. Are you out there? And so don't believe that it's impossible. Nothing's impossible to God, and nothing's impossible to him that believeth. That's what Scripture says. So I believe that God will help me through my trials and tribulations. Amen? I believe he'll help me through my down days. I may not be up, but I'm getting up. I love that. One guy said, I'm never down. I'm either up or I'm getting up. And the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. See, we can rise again. Everybody say, I will rise again. All right. Well, we do it with his help and with his strength because we're not alone. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. I understand that. This is a broken world. And there are things that go wrong in this world. Everything's not perfect. You're going to face some tragedy. You're going to face some crisis. But you got a helper. We're not like lost people. We heal up. I heard this analogy and I thought it was so good. You take a person to the hospital, generally if there's surgery or medication or something, they respond to the medication, they respond to the surgery. But the only reason that's the case is because they're alive. If you take a dead body in the surgery room, they don't respond to the surgery. You take a dead body and medicate it, it doesn't respond, it can't heal. Well, we are Christians, we're believers, we're alive. We used to be dead, but now we're alive. We may get hurt, but we heal. We respond, amen? We're not like we used to be, where we couldn't get over anything. Now we can get over. Hallelujah. Now we can rise again. Now we can heal up. Sure, there's tragedy in the world, but I get over it. I get over it. Hallelujah. This will not last forever. Hallelujah. So he says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Why would I be of good cheer about Jesus overcoming the world? This is me I'm talking about. Hello. Well, he overcame it so you can overcome it. He won so you could win. He's a conqueror. We're more than conquerors. Woo! Whatever Jesus did, we're benefiting from that. We're the beneficiaries of that. He rose from the dead and conquered hell, death, and the grave for me, for you. By his stripes, you're healed, not him. See, Jesus doesn't heal himself. He doesn't need healing. He doesn't forgive himself. He doesn't need forgiveness. Woo! So the reason to be of good cheer is because Jesus has overcome. And it's not just a statement about him. It's a statement about us. Yes, amen? Whatever he did on our behalf. And we can be of good cheer. So cheer up. You know, that's something Jesus said all the time. I wonder in some churches if they just hadn't got that message yet. You walk in some churches and you think, you know, goodness gracious, they've been baptizing persimmon juice or something. There's a guy, and I know many of you know this, but he used to come to our church years ago, and he used to go to church of another denomination. God bless churches. We're pro-church. I mean, thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, and Church of God, and Church of Christ, and Catholic. And if you name the name of Jesus, we're for you. Amen? So I don't take this as a criticism against any particular church. But this particular church had a sign, and I will not name them, but they had a sign as you walk in, the pews were, you know, like if you walked in that back door and there's the pew, there was a plaque, literal plaque. This guy told me, he said, the church I used to go to had a plaque back there. And you walk in, you read it, it says, be quiet, remember you are in church. And I thought, you know, we ought to get a plaque. You know, get loud, remember you're in church. Hello. Say amen, shout hallelujah, and praise the Lord. You're in church. You can now praise the Lord. You can now scream and holler hallelujah. You can give God glory. You can lift your hands and you can dance as long as you stay in your little spot. Don't come up here and take a... Just wanted to get that real clear, you know. Yeah, sometimes charismatic, full gospel, Pentecostal type churches, you know, they do the Jericho March and they start running around. Hey, that's fine. The Holy Ghost hits you. Go ahead. But if he doesn't hit you, I'm sitting you back down. Okay, we got ushers. So. But you're free to worship God and clap and lift your hands and dance. And we have reason to rejoice. Amen? We are now overcomers. We used to be overcome by the world, sure. But not anymore, no. Now we're overcoming the world. Hallelujah. And if we didn't, if we hadn't, if we fail, we can get back up. We can go back to the drawing board. We can find out what God says. We can get a bigger, more accurate picture. Somebody got a phone call? Now, Jerry, you've been missing church all these weeks. You finally come. I was just telling Jerry, it's so good to see you. I hadn't seen you in a while. She's been taking care of her dad, you know, and she comes and her phone goes off. That's okay. I'm picking at you. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I'm glad you're here. Tell them I said hello, whoever that is, okay? Okay. Hey, turn to John 14 real quick. A couple verses I want you to look at to put all this together. Get all this to gel, as it were. You know, this means something. You ought to read the Bible on purpose. I mean, with a purpose. Come on, I want to know something. I want to know how to live. You know, that's, David talked about the commandments. He said, I love them. I love the commandments. Because he found out what he should do. You know, rules are good if you know how to work with them instead of against them. Don't you want to know principles and understand principles? I mean, if you work with electricity, I hope you understand the laws of electricity. Because if you don't, it can kill you. Your ignorance can kill you. And really, when you think about the laws or principles of God, they're really for your benefit when you understand them. You know, sowing and reaping is a great law. If you love, you get love. If you hate, well, you do that to your own detriment. You shoot yourself in the foot. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't just be mean all your life. Are you with me? The old wicked thing, you ought to repent. But if you're kind, it comes back to you. That's a law. It's a spiritual law. If you cut into the wall over here and grab that electricity that wire and cut that Romex and grab a hold of that naked wire, that thing, that law of electricity will kill you. That was not what it was meant to do. It was meant to turn the lights on. It was meant to heat homes in the winter and cools in the summer. It was meant to cook food. And I got to quit talking about food. It's too close to lunch. But it was meant to do good things, but it can be violated. And so the law of sowing and reaping is a good law. It's a wonderful thing. Whatever a man sows, that shall also reap is a principle. But it only works if you work with it. It also will work against you if you violate it. And so that's why I love the word, because I find out how to work with the law, work with principles, work with the rules. There are rules. Are you out there? You jump off house, you hit ground. That's gravity. Now, gravity is a wonderful thing. It keeps you from flying off to the moon when you walk out of this building. But it'll also kill you if you violate it. And the more you understand about principles and spiritual law and what the Bible says, then the better off you are. You'll have a better marriage. You'll live a better life. Forgiving and loving people is a lot better than hating and looking out to do a man down and to live in bitterness and anger and revenge. It eats you up. It tears you up like a canker worm. It just destroys you. People get stressed out and die of heart attacks because of anger and bitterness and all kinds of things. And fear, all those things. You know, you can turn all that around if you'll get into the Word of God. Amen. And find out what Jesus said. Why is it so encouraging that Jesus overcame? Notice what it says in John 14, verse 12. Many of you would know this verse, could quote it. I want you to get the whites of your eyes on it. Because it doesn't really matter what I say. All that matters is what God says. Amen? Now don't run out here and say, well, we at International Outreach Church believe this, or my pastor always says. No, you need to know where it is. You need to know where it's in the Bible and the context of it. You need to know Scripture. Amen? God doesn't have any grandchildren anyway. He just got children. We're not going on somebody else's faith. John 14, 12, Jesus said it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. I love that. Verily, just the word truth, verity, truth. When you see the word verily, it means amen, amen. When you see the word amen, same word. So be it, so be it. When Jesus said, verily, so be it, amen, he's going to say something pretty important. When he says, verily, verily, he's going to say something doubly important. Amen? Seriously. So here he said, of a truth I tell you, so be it, amen, amen, verily, verily. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, how many of you believe on Jesus? Man, I believe on Jesus, I do. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's what he says, amen? So why is it so encouraging, and why should we be so excited about Jesus saying, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Because if Jesus overcame, you can overcome. Because the works that he did, you shall do, and even greater works than these shall you do, because he goes to the Father. See, Jesus is the right hand of the Father. You and I are down here. That's profound. Probably didn't know that. We're here. And wherever you go, there you are. You ever notice you can't come back from somewhere you hadn't been? Oh, listen, I can go all day long like this. I got a million of them. But think about it. I'm here, he's in heaven, but I'm here with a purpose. I'm here as a Christian, as a believer, as someone who represents him, using his name. That's what he says there in John 14. And in his name, I can do what he did because I am representing Jesus. We are the body of Christ, members in particular. I'm not Jesus, but I am representing him. Amen? And everything I do down here, I should do in his name. That's what the scripture says. Do all that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Amen? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, in essence, everything I do down here, I do in his name. Everything he does in heaven, he does in my name. That's true. He's representing me up there. That's exactly what he said. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Isn't that right? And so he is our advocate, our lawyer. He's seated at the right hand of God, making good all of our prayers. And when you confess Jesus, he confesses you. I love that when someone gets saved. Notice that we do that often. When someone gets saved, I have them turn around and face the congregation. And I say, now I want you to do this. Say, Jesus is my Lord in front of all these people. Confess Jesus to all these people. And they'll turn around. They'll say, you know, I hold the microphone. They say, Jesus is my Lord. And then I bring out that verse where it says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. So, you know, if Henry came down, was, you know, Henry did come down, actually, in 1983, 84. Was it 84? 1984, Henry walked the aisle and turned his life over to Jesus Christ when we were downtown in the building downtown and accepted Jesus. And he's been picking up lottery tickets ever since off the ground. But anyway, well, you know. But when Henry did that, when he came down front and he accepted Jesus and he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is really what happened. Jesus was seated at the right hand of God. Henry confessed Jesus before men. And Jesus turned to the Father and says, I confess Henry before you right now. Whew. That's just powerful. I mean, when you think about it, I confess him. He's mine. I confess Jesus as my Lord. Jesus says, I confess Henry. I am his Lord. Man, I love that. I love that. So everything I do down here, I do in his name, and everything he does up there, he does in my name. I think we probably have better representation in heaven than he does down here. But nonetheless, it is our job to represent him, amen, while we're here. And part of that is overcoming. If he overcame, we overcome. When we see tragedy and we see pain and we see trouble and we see discouragement and we see depression, we should attack it, I mean, with a vengeance. That's what Jesus came to do, set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to bring recovery of sight to the blind. You see him walk the streets of Galilee and the shores of Capernaum, and he is raising the dead and casting out devils, and he's forgiven sins, and he's healing diseases, and he's helping suffering, sighing, dying humanity. That's what he came to do. And you know what? That's what we're here to do. Hallelujah. So God forbid you'd put up with that junk when it comes to your house. You ought to fight it with a passion. By tooth and nail, every fiber of your being, you ought to be against it. And really, we are. I'm against pain. Aren't you against pain? Aren't you against sickness? Aren't you against depression? Isn't that why we have all these hospitals and doctors and medicine? Thank God for all they do, and we're for that. Why? Because we know it's wrong. It's not good. It's not a blessing. It's not God doing that. God is into help and healing. God's into hope and recovery. God's into forgiveness. Hallelujah, somebody. He is into life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See, that's why Jesus said, cheer up. I got good news. Hallelujah. You don't have to be poor no more. Hallelujah. You don't have to be blind anymore. Your eyes can be opened. You can have purpose in your life. You can have a destiny and a hope. God's got plans for us that are a whole lot better than our plans. Amen? And he's got the means to make it happen. He's not just giving us an idea or a dream. He'll make it happen. Woo. You ought to stir yourself. You ought to shake yourself. Amen. You ought to rejoice. Hallelujah. Whatever Jesus did, you can do in his name. Good stuff. In fact, Philippians 4:13, you might write that down. If you write notes, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, and Paul speaking, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everybody say, through Christ. Now there's the key. See, we're operating on his strength, not ours. We're operating his name, not ours. We can overcome, hallelujah. Oh, you didn't used to could, but you're not who you used to be. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Don't buy this lie that whatever's happened to you bad in the past, you're doomed to repeat forever. You're not doomed to repeat that cycle. You can break out of that cycle, hallelujah, whatever it is. Whether it's a addiction, temptation, whether it's pain or misery, whether it seems like you fail every time you turn around. Well, hey, I'm telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready to win. Get your eyes on the Lord. I don't know if you realize or not, but you're going to the greatest place there ever has been or ever will be when you die. Amen? You're going to heaven. I don't know, you know, maybe you've had some failures in your life, but you're not a failure. You know, failure is not a person. Failure is an event. Why do we internalize everything? Why do we personalize everything? As soon as we fail, we say, I am a failure. No, you're not. You just failed. That's something that happened. That's not who you are. That's something that happened to you. Well, I'm just a loser. No, you're not. In fact, the Bible says you're a winner. If you want to be honest about this and you want to go through the scripture, New Covenant, New Testament, after Jesus rose from the dead, new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says things like we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says things like he always causes us to triumph in Christ. The Bible says things like He always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. We find in the Scripture things like, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We find things like, whosoever believes Jesus Christ is born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Now, that's what God says. Now, if you're smarter than God, I understand. But if you're not smarter than God, and you take God at his word, you are not a loser. You may not be acting like you're a winner, but you are a winner. I really believe this, that in life, God designed us to win, but we're programmed to fail. We live in a world where everything programs us to fail. But God designs us to win. Now, I'm not talking about just having more money. I'm not talking about just having more things. I'm talking about being a success in life, being a successful Christian, a Christian full of joy, full of hope, full of help, an encourager, one that helps others and blesses others and reaches out to others, prays for others, and makes other people's lives better. Hallelujah. What is that? A bore is someone that does nothing but talk about himself. Are you with me? A semi-interesting person is someone that talks about others. An excellent, magnificent speaker is one who talks about you. Okay. I don't know where they came from. I just thought about that. These things come, I got to get them out real quick because, you know, you know, in Revelation, you don't have to turn there either, but Revelation 2 and 3, where it talks to the churches, you know. In fact, Revelation is pretty well laid out there, you know, and there's the vision of Christ there in the first chapter, and the second chapter, John's told to write to the churches, to the seven churches of Asia, you know, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Laodicea, and Pergamos, and Philadelphia. And he writes to these churches, and one in particular, after each church, he writes to the angel, the messenger of the church, and he says at the end of each segment, he says, to him that overcometh, well, I grant this, you know, some promise that he grants. And in the third chapter of Revelation, 21st verse, if you're writing notes, he says, to him that overcometh, Jesus speaking, well, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, there's some insight. Let's chew on that a little bit here. Let's don't just swallow that thing whole. Let's chew our food, okay? To him that overcometh, even as I also overcame. See what he's saying? I overcame. You can overcome. Well, how do we overcome? We overcome the same way he overcame. Isn't that right? So if we do what Jesus did, we'll overcome like he overcame. If we'll follow in his footsteps, and we can, because he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go into my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So we see there, we can't pull that card out and say, well, I'm not Jesus, I can't do what he did. No, he just said, you can do what he did. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Amen. So if we can do the works Jesus did, John 14:12, and we can, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13, and he says to him that overcometh, even as I also overcame, then the only reason we wouldn't be able to overcome is Jesus, if Jesus didn't overcome. Oh, this better preaching, y'all are amening. Come on now. I'm trying to connect the dots here. Are you with me? Did Jesus overcome? Yes. We started out with that verse, John 16:33. You know, in me, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You know, in me you'll have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Why is that such good news? Because he set an example for us to follow. Now, I know he redeemed us and we can't copy that. You're not going to have to die for anybody's sins because that's already taken care of. But all the things he did while he was on earth was for an example for us to follow. That's what he trained his disciples to do. That's what he told us to do. Are you with me? So what we need to do is find out what he did in similar situations. Copy what he did. Let's be Jesus copiers. We're all copycats. You just want to make sure you're copying the right cat. Isn't that right? Everyone's copying something. We're copying somebody. So let's copy Jesus, and in so doing, start overcoming. I believe the church far too many times is enduring what it should be overcoming. I think we're putting up with things that Jesus gave us the ability and the power and the command to overcome. God does not want you to live in depression. You may think that's your plight, your thorn in the flesh, your, you know, everybody wants to quote Job and his poor old yellow turkey, you know. They want to refer to Job. What about Job? Hey, what about Jesus? Come on. What about Job? Job doesn't know what you, he didn't know what you know. Job was a good man, but he didn't have the promises you and I have. He wasn't born again like we are. He didn't have, Jesus had already paid for his sins. And if you want to know the truth, you want to read Job. He had twice as much stuff when it was all over than when he started. Nobody seems to remember that part of Job. They just remember the pain, they remember the tragedy, and they think they're another old Job. I don't want to be another old Job. I want to be like Jesus. Job didn't die for my sins. Jesus did. And if I could possibly hang tough like Job did, I would have twice as much stuff. Because if you read the last chapter, he did get twice as much. So even Job didn't die in that stuff. Even Job didn't give up and quit and lose everything. Job himself was vindicated when he prayed at the very end. Ooh. But what about us? That's what we're talking about. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been born again. We have access to resources we never had before. We have the attention of heaven. I believe God is bending over the throne with his hand over his ear, listening intently, waiting for someone to call and someone to cry. It's not a matter of us conning him into it. It's not a matter of us convincing him. It's not a matter of us, beating ourselves half crazy trying to get a prayer answer. It's just a matter of trusting God. God actually wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He wants your children to serve God more than you want them to serve God. He wants your marriage to work more than you want it to work. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. You will know the truth. He bore stripes on his back that you might be healed. He went to a lot more trouble to get you healed than you're going to. Are you with me? And the list goes on and on and on. What we need to do is to be of good cheer. Cheer up. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said that over and over. Cheer up. Cheer up. Praise God. We have reason to cheer up. Amen. Okay, Matthew 4, let's wrap this up. This helping anybody? Yeah. Okay, just cornbread and beans. Maybe with a little pepper on the side. I'll throw the pepper in there once in a while. But. Notice what it says in Matthew 4. Now, here is the account where Jesus was in the wilderness, led of the Spirit in the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And it says the tempter came. Everybody say the tempter. That's another subject altogether. God does not tempt you, okay? The tempter is the devil. Matthew, the 4th chapter is where we are. So when temptation comes, it's not God doing it. God actually is the one that provides the way out of temptation, not the one that brings the temptation. God's not schizophrenic. God's not bipolar. God doesn't make you sick and then heal you. God doesn't kill you and then raise you from the dead. Jesus didn't heal anybody that was made sick by God. He didn't fight against God. And Jesus actually is the one that said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. He said, if Satan rises up against Satan, cast out Satan, he has an end. And that's because they accused him of doing what he did by the power of the devil. And he said, I've come to you by the finger of God, and these people have been set free from the devil's power, not from God's power. So God's not your problem, he's your answer. You know, the world's in a mess, I understand that. And it's all in the Bible, it's all there. You know, Adam sinned, sin came in the world, through sin came death, and it's been messed up ever since. It's going to be straightened out eventually, but we're still in kind of a battlefield until Jesus comes. And there's still pain and death and misery here. But thank God we got someone to help us through the pain. Amen. We got somebody that can relieve the pain. Somebody gets back on our feet again. And he's given over to us his name to use in prayer. That's why we should be quick to pray for each other. That's why the Bible says pray one for another that you may be healed. Amen. Over and over the scripture talks about relieving pain and suffering, dying humanity. So here the devil comes to Jesus. And it says in the third verse, Matthew 4, verse 3, when the tempter came, or I say tempter, tempter, not God, but the devil. When the tempter came, he said to him, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And you know the story, not to expound greatly on that, but God multiplies bread, no question, but he never made bread out of stones. What the devil asked him to do, something that there was no precedent for. God does miracles, no question. But that wasn't one that had the mark of the Creator on it. Little bread makes more bread. We see it all the time. Little fish make more fish. That's what you see all the time. That's what Jesus did. And even water into wine, really, all wine originally was water that came through the ground up through the, you know. You don't see pumpkins turn into coaches and mice turn into coachmen. Those are fairy tales. Bible miracles have the mark of creation on them. They always do. And so when the devil asked Jesus, tempted him to do something, it was out of whack to even ask him to do that, first of all. And secondly, he wasn't going to die, and so there's no reason for him to be worried about it, having to jump the gun, turn rocks into water. God was going to take care of him. The devil's trying to get Jesus' faith off of God, that God wasn't going to take care of it. You're going to have to compromise to make it. You don't have to compromise to make it. Are you hearing me? You trust God. Don't you compromise. You trust God. Don't you listen to the devil when he tries to get you sidetracked and says, well, if you just go over and do this. I do not want to see you in the arrest section of the Wills Point Chronicle next week. Because you went down to the bank trying to pay your bills. No, and took your gun with you when you went and robbed it. No. Are you with me? So this miracle didn't fit creation, as it were. You ever notice when legs get healed, they walk? This is deep. You ever notice when eyes pop open and blind men see, their eyes see? You know why that has the mark of the Creator on it? Because that's what legs were made to do, is walk. And that's what eyes do, is see. In fact, truth be known, it's a miracle you're seeing right now. It's a miracle you're walking right now. It's happening all around us and we don't even notice. But when something happens real quick, straight, immediate, in front of our face, we think, oh, there's a miracle. But miracles are happening all the time. Listen, fish have always been multiplied. They've been multiplying since they've been made. Every fish you ate was multiplied from another fish. Every bread you ate was multiplied from seed sown from another wheat, rye, whatever the case may be. Every leg that was healed and every eye that was healed, listen, that's what eyes are supposed to do. That's what legs are supposed to do. When Jesus did miracles, it fit creation. Well, he tempted them, and you know what he did? You know what Jesus did? He answered and said, it is written. Everybody say, it is written. Now, this is how Jesus overcame. He overcame with the Word of God. So you can be of good cheer, although in the world you have tribulation. In Jesus you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And Jesus overcame the world how? He overcame the world with God's Word. Here comes Obamacare. I don't know why I had to throw that out there, but anyway. What you have to do is look at things like Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here comes a new tax code, you know. What you have to look at is, there's so many good scriptures you could think of. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Are you with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. You have to look at the Word. You have to say, the Word says, when the temptation comes to fear, to give in, to quit, to give up, to get depressed, you overcome just like Jesus overcame. Amen? And to him that overcometh, even as I also overcame, that's what he says. The works that I do shall he do also, even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Listen, you were born to overcome. And this is what we see all through. There's no sense in going to all this. If I don't hurry up, we're not going to beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. I'm going to have to hurry up. But if you go through these temptations, three times he was tempted. Three times Jesus said, it is written. Notice the seventh verse. Jesus answered him and said, it is written. Notice the 10th verse. Then he said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. It is written. Now, you know, of all the things Jesus could have done, if Jesus took Satan down like an MMA fight or pride fight, had him in a ring, in a cage, he would just annihilate the devil. There's no question. But see, Jesus didn't do that because we couldn't follow that. Jesus did the most powerful thing he could ever do. He spoke the word to the devil, and you can speak the word to the devil too. Jesus could have took the devil and slung him around his head and thrown him over Jerusalem, out into the universe like Superman, thrown him to the planet Krypton and encaged him, whatever. But you really couldn't follow that. See, but he spoke the word, and the devil had to toe the line. And you know what? You can speak the word. Amen? You can overcome like he overcame. He did what he did as an example for us to follow. And you and I have reason to rejoice and to be of good cheer. I don't know what they're saying about America. As far as I'm concerned, still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. God bless this country. Thank God for the United States of America. But I know what God says about me. I know what God says about my family. And as far as me and my house, so we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I don't know what the world is saying and the news is saying about the economy. But my economy is God's economy. He supplies my need according to his riches and glory, not according to riches in the earth. Amen. doesn't matter what they say about health and all those other things. You know, we'll get through it. I remember Brother Osteen used to say, if gas goes to $1 a gallon, my God shall supply my needs. Well, I'm dating myself there. But I remember when it went to $1, everybody was going, whoa, how are we going to make it? How are we? People are going to shut down. They're not going to drive. They're going to sell their cars, start walking. Man, and you know what? We're still making it. Still doing just great. You know why? Because God's still God. That's why. Because God's word's still true. That's why. Because God still loves us, still crazy about us, still waiting on us to call, and still answers our prayer when we call on his name. Hallelujah. And it will always be so. Some things never change. And God's never changes. Amen.